Let us turn first, please, to Matthew's Gospel. It's a privilege to open the meeting this evening for a visiting brother, and we're once again very, very happy to see so many here under the sound of the Gospel this evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 18. Matthew 8 and verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Suffer sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me first go bury my father. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now each one of us here this evening, we have seen the end of 1984. It'll never return. It's gone. And very likely a lot of what has taken place in 1984 will go down in history. And I'm sure that there has been things in that has happened in your life. In 1984, that you're going to remember for perhaps many, many years to come. Some of the things that has happened in your life in the last year, you may never, ever forget. You may remember it until it pleases God to take you from this earthly scene and out into eternity. But I'm going to venture an educated guess and say that in all likelihood the thing that is going to stick in your mind, the thing that you are going to remember the longest, is that first event, that particular thing, that particular event that happened for the very first time in your life. My wife was reminding me that just this afternoon that in 1979, her mother passed out from this earthly scene and on into the presence of the Lord. Something that will stay in her mind, something that she will remember. And as we enter 1985, there are going to be things that is going to take place in your life in 1985 that is going to stand out. Things that you are going to remember perhaps until the very day that you die. First things, first events. And this is the very first Sunday of 1985, the very first time that the gospel of the grace of God has been proclaimed from this platform in the year of 1985. And we can only pray by the mercy and grace of our God that this day, this first day, or rather this first Sunday of 1985 will be one that you will remember all your life, but not only that, but that it might be the Lord's day that you will remember and that will change your whole life, even your destiny for eternity. Every one of us here who has been saved by the mercy and by the grace of God, we can go back to a time and we can remember the day of our redemption. You'll never forget that. The very first day, the very first time that you came into living, vital contact with the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own beloved Son. The day when you passed from death unto life. When God was pleased to take you off the broad and crowded road that leadeth to eternal destruction, and put you on the straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life everlasting. You who have been reached and saved, you will never forget that day. Oh, you will, or you might forget the very day on the calendar. You might forget the hour on the clock. And you might even forget the actual place, the spot that great event took place. But you will never, never, ever forget that particular event when you first put your trust in the person of Christ, received Him as your personal Savior. I can go back 38 years in my life, and I can remember the very first time that I heard the proclamation of the gospel. And it is as vivid in my mind this day as it was back in 1947. When preached from a platform just something like this. And I was brought to realize that I was a sinner in the sight of God. And I was made to realize that in such a condition, I had absolutely nothing to go out to meet God with. Absolutely nothing. I didn't get saved in those meetings in 1947, but that first meeting, left such an impression upon my mind that I never forgot it until the first day of April in 1960, I was brought to realize that there was a man who suffered and bled and died in my room and in my stead, the man Christ Jesus. That when in 47 we were told he suffered for the sins of many, in that first day of April, I realized he not only suffered for the sins of many, but he suffered for me personally. For me personally. First things, first events. We oftentimes hear of men and women, and they will stop and they will reminisce about perhaps the first time in their life that they done this or they done that. Or the first time in their life when they met a certain person. They made a great impression on them. And friends, tonight we do hope and trust that this first day, or rather this first Sunday of 1985, is going to be one that you will long remember. Friends, we believe with all our heart that there comes a time in the life of every single solitary individual when he must of a necessity first stop and take account of where his priorities lie. Stop and consider everything of a transient nature and weigh up of which is the most important, which has the more value. These things of time and sense, or the things relating to the kingdom of God. In other words, dear unsaved friend, your soul. You must stop in your wild and mad career and consider. Get your priorities straight. Get your priorities right. And come to realize what is really, what must be first, what must take first place. That's why we read in Matthew Gospel chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus is speaking to two of his disciples. One who said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He was ready to lay everything aside regardless. And he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The other disciple says, Let me first. To bury my father. The Lord Jesus said unto that one, he said, let the dead go bury their dead. And you may think that, you may say to yourself, now surely this is not the great God of love. Surely this is not the great God of compassion, the great God of long-suffering. But then the mind, it is. And you only need to go back into John's Gospel chapter 19 and read the account, read the story of the cross work of Christ. Read how that men took him. And nailed him by his hands and feet on a cruel Roman cross. And there you will see the very compassionate heart of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was none in all the universe so compassionate as the blessed Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why then did he say, why did he place such a demand on this poor fellow, on this disciple? Why did he say, let the dead go bury their dead? Let those who are dead in trespasses and sins look after the material things of this life. Why did he say that? I tell you why, friends. This man, this disciple, though he wanted to follow Christ, yet he had to be made to realize where his priorities lie. He had to be made to realize that God's Christ, must have first place. He will never take anything else but first place. Now, friends of mine, tonight we know that there is a good deal, credence, much values placed on materialistic things in this day in which we live. A great deal. Me first. This disciple says, me first. Me first. And really, as we look around us, and is this really not the attitude that just seems to mark humanity in general in this day in which we live? Me first. Me first. Never mind about the other person. Never mind about anything else. Yours truly first. Me first. You know, about a week and a half ago, I was made speechless. I was floored almost. I came upon an accident that had just happened. And it involved a lady and in the one car and a lady and two men in the other car, and the three in the car behind came into the back end of this lady. And when it hit the back of her, that corner of her car, it spun her around to the right, and not having her seat belt on, the door flew open, and out onto the street she went. And here is these three people behind. They get out of the car, they see the dear soul lying on the street. Now, I was told this, I wasn't right there, but the fellow told me as I came up, when I came up to the accident, and he said, you know, those three people, he said, rather than go and help this dear woman, that poor soul that is injured, she's bleeding from the head, she's bleeding from the mouth, she's lying on the pavement, rather than help that woman, they go to the front of their vehicle and they're assessing the damage of their vehicle. My, you know, really, when I heard that, I thought, boy, you know, this would almost make a person ashamed to be a part of the human race. Me first. Me first. And friends of mine, I sometimes believe, I really believe, that this is why we see so few in under the sound of the gospel. This is possibly why we see so few reached and saved in this day when much of the grace of God, when much of the gospel is going forth from platforms just something like this. Me first. But we want to tell you, friends, that there is coming a day. There's coming a day when He will, God's Christ, will have His first place. Just before we came away, my wife and I wrote down a little poem that's in a hymn that's in our Believer's Hymn Book, and it goes like this. Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon He'll come in glory, the hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. One day, dear unsaved friends, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to have His first place. If not this day, if not this first Sunday of 1985, in that heart of yours, certainly in the coming day, but whether you have part and lot in it, it depends entirely, dear friend, upon you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. It doesn't say just a few of these things. No, no. It says all of these things will be added unto you. Education? Oh, yes. Position in life? Oh, yes. But more than that, dear friend, satisfaction, hope of meeting Him. We're passing from this scene of time and into eternity, and going out to meet Him. Isn't that something, dear unsaved friend? Would to God that this night, this first Sunday of 1985, might mark a red letter day in your life when you, for the first time, meet the blessed man of Calvary, the one who suffered the agonizing death of the cross of Calvary, the one who paid the great price that your sins and mine deserve. Would to God, dear friends, that it might be for His name's sake.